Welcome back to the Atlanta Startup Podcast. This is Lisa Calhoun. I'm your host today and founding managing partner at Valor Ventures. As a lot of you have already heard, Greenwood just acquired The Gathering Spot. And today we're in for a special treat. CEO and founder Ryan Wilson of The Gathering Spot is on with us today to share all the details about that acquisition. You'll also get a chance to hear from Ryan on things he's learned as a founder and how he would advise other founders on things you care about too, like fundraising in Atlanta. So this is a great conversation. It's really worth listening to. Ryan is a leader in this community whose impact only continues to grow. So sit back, enjoy, and get a chance to get to know Ryan Wilson of The Gathering Spot.
So I'm so excited to chat with you today. Ryan, thank you for making some time. I know it's always busy and this week, incredible.
I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
So a lot of people are curious about this amazing, iconic exit of The Gathering Spot to Greenwood. But before we get into that, I don't think enough people realize the full story of The Gathering Spot. So if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of rewind it a little bit back to the beginning before we met when you and TK were dreaming about what you wanted to build and share some of the guts of that, because I think that arc just ties so beautifully into what you're doing today.
Well, I appreciate the question. I think a lot of times folks think that businesses kind of come about overnight. And, you know, my joke has been that it's been at night, but certainly not overnight. So we started the process in 2013. I went to Georgetown for undergrad. That's where I met TK, my co-founder. And the goal at that point was definitely not to start a business. I wanted to be an attorney. He wanted to go work on Wall Street. And so that was the path that we pursued. Fast forward a little bit, I went to law school. I stayed at Georgetown. TK was working in the city. And we got the idea after a lot of things were happening in our lives. But one of the galvanizing moments is got an email from some friends after George Zimmerman was acquitted of Trayvon Martin's murder. And the question in the email was, what are we going to do? And I responded back to them with the idea of building a community that we could have that conversation, really realizing that after college, we really had lost a lot of the things that were special about that experience. Access to space, people, thought leaders coming regularly to our what felt like our front door, and ultimately, again, a place to be able to have meaningful conversations. And so that started the journey. We were working for a number of years as I finished up my law degree, opened in 2016.
So what I'm hearing is business as activism, which is a pretty unusual choice. Would you agree with that?
It is. I still think that, you know, at a fundamental level, every business is trying to solve a problem. The problem that we were trying to solve was really realizing that there were a lot of people that really felt disconnected from one another immediately after the college context, where you have a ton of connection. And so what we were trying to solve for is, well, what community can we build, right, to help to try to fill in that gap? Realizing, and there's research even to this, that this is the loneliest time period in human existence. We're more connected ever, right? But research is telling us that we are more lonely than what we have ever been. And so what we were tapping into was trying to solve what I see still is a very large problem. How do you get to know people better?
You know, a lot of people are watching things like the We Crash series on TV, which is kind of popularizing the WeWork story for a lot of folks. The Gathering Spot has always been fundamentally different from WeWork. I should know, I work all over the country in co-working spaces. But for people who maybe haven't experienced The Gathering Spot, what was it about your TK's vision in those early days that made something really differentiated?
For us, even going back to those first conversations and emails, the work was really never about space, right? We've always seen space as a tool to facilitate connections, but that the business would be centered around people. And yeah, that's what you can expect at TGS. So sure, we have event space and restaurant and bar space and workspace, but the thing that we're trying to do every single day is to figure out a context for folks to know one another better, really seeing that events and dining and work are the tools to help to facilitate those connections, not actually the product of the business itself. So, you know, it's been interesting for us as a company. We have seen companies come and go since we started. And all in all, a lot of times those comparisons, as you reference, weren't always the best fit because they were trying to solve a different problem than what we ever have been.
Well, I also really loved the way, especially even before it existed in real life, the way you verbalized to me some of those earlier days at the Gathering Spot, your vision for technology and how technology could support connection in new and meaningful ways. I found that very inspiring, still do. I don't think technology has been deployed properly yet to create the kind of connectivity that it could. What have you learned about that? You're going through the pandemic, the Gathering Spot grew. So kind of amazing. And so I feel like one of the things that's really differentiated about your vision for community is the way you look at the tech layer. What do you think about that? How do you think about that now?
I mean, I think technology is a powerful tool to facilitate relationships and to have folks participate in experiences. Far too often, I think that those experiences sometimes are a little bit shallow, right? We think that we're doing more work online than what we actually are doing. I joke all the time. Folks will say, well, you know, I sent you a connection on this platform or that platform, but that isn't relationship building, right? And so the way that we think about technology is, well, how do you build tools or have tools available to the membership that help to facilitate relationship building? To the extent that we are able to have technology that helps us do that, then that helps the business overall. But then also we've seen pay dividends just in terms of the way that folks are able to connect to business partners and then also just their friends.
Well, the Gathering Spot is definitely complex business, lots of moving parts. and so I'd love to have you reflect kind of at this moment in time, because we'll never be at this moment in time again where you're fresh off your exit to Greenwood, a lot going on, I'm sure a lot in your mind, you're a very thoughtful person. What would you say are some of the lessons learned as a founder at this point in your journey?
So I think there are a lot. We'd be here for a long time. I think one of the things as a founder that I had to embrace early was that you have to learn and recover from mistakes super, super quickly. And, you know, it feels odd to put that in the lessons learned category, but for me, it really was one, right? You've got to continue to keep your feet moving and continue to ideate and know that while whatever it is that you're doing may not be working as well as you thought it would, that you can get to another place. I have made more mistakes in business than honestly I can call at this point. It's been many, many, but I think place that I almost got stopped, right, was believing that we never were going to be able to get this thing started in the first place. And I think a lot of founders lose the game before it honestly even gets started. So I try to encourage folks when you're in those early days to remember why you started in the first place and know that there's a reason for that and to continue to fight for whatever the biggest possible, you know, vision for the business, whatever that is, continue to fight for that that vision and that version of the company, because it's possible.
Yeah, you know, that recovery game is important to your point. I think that a lot of people think they hear the Silicon Valley, you know, move fast and break things. What they don't realize is you are going to break things anyway. You might as well do it quickly. Like, as long as you're breaking stuff, you know, do it quickly and move on and learn from that. How do you recover from a mistake? Like, what is your kind of go-to? What's your headset? Do you do anything? How do you do it?
So I try to stay grounded in the reason why I started in the first place and realize that that reason wasn't completely ridiculous, right? So there's a reason why I am wherever I am. And then I grew up playing golf, right? And one of the things that you learn on the golf course is that if you pay attention to the last shot that you hit, the next shot is probably going to be pretty awful too, right? The best golfers in the world just take the ball where it is and figure out how to get into the hole. And so I try to approach the work in that same way. I may have hit a bad shot. I may be in the far rough in the trees and don't know how I'm ever going to get back to the hole. But if I continue to focus on that bad tee shot, probably going to have a series of other shots that'll put me even further behind. So I don't stay very long with the mistake and I try to reframe it. Right. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. And we've got to figure out a way out of it anyway. Right. So I might as well do that with some energy and optimism.
Yeah. Don't catastrophize it. Don't make it worse than it is. I mean, you can make it worse. Yeah. That leads me to thinking about one of the hardest things that founders with big dreams like you face, and that is fundraising. And I would even say fundraising in the South is yet another level of tough. What are some lessons learned that you would share with us? particularly founders. I want founders who hear this to hear some truth from you, because I know you're a truth teller.
Beginning foundation, right? Where you start really, really matters, right? Those first fundamental decisions about how you're going to think about capital in the business in the long run, those matter, right? Because they end up playing into future decisions. And sometimes could even be the thing where future capital is not attracted to the business because of a thing that you did 4 or 5 years ago in different circumstances.
Can you ground that for us? Like, even give us an example? Like, because you're absolutely right. But I think that let's ground it.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I see often. It kind of applied to us, but not as badly as what I've seen in other cases. But you know, folks taking very, very, very small checks, right, and having many, many, many people on their cap table for many, many different valuations and ways of engagement in the business. And then you find yourself in a Series A trying to explain why, you know, 2-3 years ago that your cousin and the family friend and, you know, that other person that you met at one time, you know, own 20% of the business, don't really have anything meaningful that they're contributing to it at the moment, and did it at a valuation that, again, doesn't set you up to have a strong conversation about the business. So crowded cap tables, having cap tables with, again, people on them that are not helpful to the business. These are all things that, like, again, you've got to think about where you're trying to land eventually, and be very disciplined in the early days at staying flexible, but true to a thesis about the way that the business is going to be capitalized. I started this journey when I was 23, 24. And while I had great guidance around me, I can't say that I was thinking completely about, well, what does the business look like after 2 and 5 and 10 of us building clubs or whatever we're doing digitally? How are we going to actually, you know, continue to fuel this thing moving forward? I got there, but I could have gotten there faster.
How has your thinking changed about how much help an investor can give a business? Like, how would you advise a founder? And in other words, when you first started raising money, you probably thought investors are good for money and maybe they're good for this and that. Now, from this perspective, a few years down the road and past your exit, you've probably sharpened how you think about investors adding value. What have you learned?
And investors are a key partner. And I think that that's the way that they need to be viewed in the business, as a partner, someone or a group of people that will be there with you through up and down. But really, that they're not going anywhere, right? I think sometimes folks talk about investors like, you know, it's a temporary situation. we met. I was able to raise some capital, but what they don't think about is that those same folks, right, are now tied to whatever happens with the business, good or bad, for the entire life cycle of the company, right? And so you've got to be strategic in, well, who are those folks? And then 2, what are they able to contribute to the business, knowing that they're not going to work day to day on the business like you are, but there's going to be a specific moments where their advice, their relationships, hopefully their something, right, is helpful to you and to the company. So if you're not able to answer that question, if there's not something strategic about why the capital is coming into the business, you should think about if it's a good fit, right? Because again, they're not going anywhere.
So true. It's definitely been an active conversation. Ryan, this is a great time for me to tell you again, thank you so much for the honor of valor being on your cap table. Honestly, it was a huge honor to partner with you. You and TK's vision was inspiring from the moment I met it. And I was really excited that we had the opportunity to go down that road together.
Yeah. So for everyone watching, we're not done yet. Right. But so don't see that as the conclusion, but no, I mean, thank you. I mean, this is a humbling thing as an entrepreneur. And I should say this too. Know y'all that as you are raising capital, whether you're raising from friends and family or from professional investors, right, that you are really then charged with being a good steward of that investment. Right. And, you know, there's a goal there, right, to return that capital plus some to the investors at some point, hopefully soon. And so know that's, you know, part of what actually, I think sometimes people talk about investors like it's grant money or, you know, like philanthropic, and it's, it's not, right? It's actually far from it in many ways. Yeah, but for your work, Lisa, I mean, I think that when it's all said and done, this is going to be a really exciting chapter in Atlanta's history, right? So just to focus there for a second. But part of the reason why it's going to be exciting is that there were people like you that said, hey, I'm going to think differently about you know, the way that capital is going to find itself at work in our city and then beyond at this point. Yeah. And that's meaningful. So, you know, thank you for your participation with TGS, but it's a broader thanks to.
I can't wait to talk about Greenwood because there's so much going on there. Before we get off the subject of fundraising, how is Valor most helpful to you? How do you think about that now looking back on this journey? And then let's talk about the next chapter.
So I spent a lot of time in this conversation talking about relationships, right? And so I'm going to stick there, right? You know, the easy answer to any question about a relationship with an investor is, well, capital, right? But again, to this relationship piece, it is important to have people that you can have conversations with that help you to think differently about the business. In our case, our conversations, particularly as the business was growing from a digital perspective, right, looking at our technology, we had a very, very high retention rate of the community through COVID. The reason why, though, is that we were prepared from a tech perspective and folks were accustomed to engaging with our content digitally, that when COVID hit, we didn't find ourselves like many folks having to try to build something. We already had it there. Now we made it better over time, but we had the core of what needed to exist there. And that goes back to meaningful conversations that I was having with you around the best ways to think about how we were going to connect digitally. So that's one thing I can highlight of me, but relationships in business matter and how people help you to think about the business. Those things also do too.
Well, you're such a learner. I mean, you're just a sponge. If it can make the business better, I think you're engaged in 100 conversations every week about making the business better from all kinds of sources. And sometimes I was there in the gathering spot watching that happen live. I'm like, look at these sponges of business growth. And indeed, you had an exit a lot sooner than I think people are anticipating. And it does start such an exciting chapter. Tell us more about Greenwood and the gathering spot and what you see in the future.
I'll answer that question and talk a little bit about how we got there, right? And so at TGS, again, I've talked a lot about our programs and the conversations that happened in the club. In short, many of those conversations came back to capital. It's what we were talking about earlier, right? It's important for us to try to talk about the resources necessary. For a lot of times, a big percentage of the membership community at TGS are entrepreneurs. What is it like for us to think differently about the ways that we can help those business owners and individuals overall have access to the financial services that we've been talking about for a really long time? The best of what we do is in community building. The best of what they do is in providing those financial services to folks. Together, we're able to create a platform that does both. That helps to better serve the community that we know and love. What you can expect moving forward are more products from a financial services perspective, more gathering spots from a TGS perspective, and together more benefits, right, for being tied to the two. We'll continue as a combined group to enhance the community's experience by having, you know, more things that we're able to accomplish together.
That sounds amazing. I was noticing in some of the materials, and of course, there's been a lot of incredible articles coming out in the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, places like that, that together you have already a population of 1 million affiliates already around the network. How do you see that growing and going in the future? Like, what are some of the things that are, as you, new head of community, tell us about how you're seeing that future of community maybe the next, you know, 5 years, 12 months?
So I'm honored, right? Because a lot of times we're even talking about stats tied to the growth of the community. They're old pretty quickly. I mean, it's the community continues to grow, and I'm really excited and thankful about that. We're going to continue to grow, though. All right. I mean, this is really far from the end, but really the starting point. What you realize when you get to meaningful scale, right? Start talking about folks in the millions instead of the thousands, right? What that does is it opens up a ton of new doors for new relationships, and again, new products and services that we'll be able to offer offer the community. So, you know, we'll continue to on that quest. Again, easy answer here is we're going to build more gathering spots and do more by through connecting the network online. But then there'll also be some other tools on the finance side that they'll have access.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to go down to one of my banking relationships, their physical location. And I'm not going to mention the brand, but yeah, it's one of the big ones. I mean, almost everyone has an account there. Yep. Walked into their location because I needed a special signature. And I mean, they can't help it, but it's just dead. And there's a little line of folks. And then I was thinking about the energy over at the gathering spot when I was there earlier this week. It's so vibrant. And I was like, wow, this could well be the future of finance, is to actually have a network that not just empowers your business financially, but empowers it with the relationships you need to take it to the next level, talent, recruitment, resources, really exciting thing.
It's an exciting time. I mean, we're working day in and day out, yes, to disrupt, right, the ways that people think about where and how they're supposed to engage with their financial institutions that they use on a regular basis. So
is there anything our listeners should be thinking about or doing? Like if you had an ask, what would it be?
Join the community. So formally, you can join the Gathering Spot community. Again, we exist at this point across the country. And I would certainly encourage you to join the Greenwood community. At this point, that is really the same thing. But there are tools that are available now for folks to use. I'll show my Greenwood card, and that's something that's available to you right now.
That's awesome, Ryan. Thanks for making time to share a little bit more of the story. I'm excited about seeing it continue to develop, and you write the next chapter with what's going on at the Gathering Spot.
We're thrilled to have you as an Atlanta Startup Podcast listener. To help you get the most out of the experience, let me invite you to 3 insider opportunities from our host, Valor Ventures. First, want to be a guest on this amazing show? Reach out to our booking team at AtlantaStartupPodcast.com. Click on Booking. It's a no-brainer from there. Are you raising a seed round? Valor definitely wants to hear from you. Share your startup story at valor.vc/pitch. Are you a woman or minority-led startup? Valor's sister program, the Startup Runway Foundation, gives away grants to promising startups led by underrepresented founders. The mission of the Startup Runway Foundation is connecting underrepresented founders to their first investors. Startup Runway finalists have raised over $40 million. See if you qualify for one of these amazing grants at startuprunway.org. You can also sign up for our next showcase for free there. Let me let you go today with a shout out to Startup Runway presenting sponsor Cox Enterprises and to our founding partners, American Family Institute, Truist, Georgia Power, Avanta Ventures, and Innovators Legal. These great organizations make Startup Runway possible. Thanks for listening today, and see you back next week.